This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Bingeworthy, a podcast dedicated to wading into the deep, overcrowded TV and streaming content waters to bring you, the listener, all of the shows that are worthy of your time and attention, hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and editor-in-chief of The Playlist, Rodrigo Perez. Now, this week, Rodrigo is up to his ears in everything Cannes Film Festival, so it's up to me to bring you our latest episode, which is on HBO Max's new series, The Time Traveler's Wife, which premiered this past weekend and will run a new episode every week for the next 5 weeks for a 6-episode first-season run. After I break down my thoughts, writer Stephen Moffat and director David Nutter stop by to chat about bringing the show to HBO Max. Stephen Moffat, you may know for his time writing, you know, the Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman Sherlock series, or Doctor Who, or the 2020 Dracula miniseries, which I loved. And then David Nutter is probably most famous for directing multiple standout episodes of Game of Thrones, as well as Lost in Space, Shameless, Arrow, The Flash. He's done a ton of great pilots, and they were excellent to talk to. And being a fan of theirs, it came as no surprise that I enjoyed their adaptation of The Time Traveler's Wife. So let's get into that. Now, this story obviously started as a book and then a successful film with Rachel McAdams and Eric Bana, but the series really feels like, you know, a romance novel slash sci-fi tale come to life. So they don't really make a lot of shows or movies like this anymore, so it feels pretty unique. Where the movie had to move along at a quick pace, this is allowed to really sink into the characters and their motivations and the absolute nightmare that it would be to time travel unwillingly through your life. And Theo James and Rose Leslie, the stars of the show, are really good. They both do an impressive job playing the nuances of people at different points in their lives. Yes, there's an issue that a lot of people raise with the book and the film and now the series, which is the grooming of it all. Was the main character grooming the young girl version of his wife? Which I would understand if it wasn't an involuntary time travel, you know, kind of story. You know, he slips back to people or incidents that most affect him, so it would make sense that you'd slip back to see your wife at different times subconsciously. So would you befriend that younger version of them? It's a big question at the center of it, and it's even addressed in the show itself by Rose's character too, so you be the judge there. But beyond that, it's well told, it's well made. I do have some issues with, you know, putting the leads in that old age makeup, but, you know, we discussed this in the interview. They really had no choice because they didn't want to separate, you know, the actors playing them at older ages. So yes, in the age of the rom-com, you know, when it's returning to form and Outlander has proved that you can do a sci-fi tinged romance over a long period of time, The Time Traveler's Wife basically feels like it's in the right place at the right time, no pun intended. For once. So, okay, without further delay, let's time slip over to my conversation with the delightful team of director David Nutter and writer Stephen Moffat. David, Stephen, big fan of the both of you, and surprise, surprise, I very much enjoyed The Time Traveler's Wife, so congrats again.
Thank you.
Good.
Awesome. Awesome. So, let's start right at the question that you've been likely getting a lot. This was a very popular book and a successful movie, which I could have sworn came out within the last 5 to 10 years, but obviously 13 years have passed and I feel even older. You both stepped into something that exactly has been told before. So what made you want to do this as a series? Did you feel like it hadn't been properly adapted?
No, I didn't feel that at all. I think it's a good movie. No, but a movie is not a TV show.
Yes.
You know, it's not a TV show, but it's a very, very different thing. There are opportunities and indeed limitations in a TV show that a movie does not have for that reason. I mean, I think it would be too early to remake the movie. I don't think you should do another movie of it right now. But I think there is, you know, the very different rhythm of television, the greater space that you've got. The fact that, I mean, as I keep saying, the limitation of having to tell that story in 2 hours is how much time you have to spend on the time travel. It takes us about three episodes to nail down for the audience exactly how this works. That's 3 hours before you're... So imagine having, that's not much time left if you're doing a one-off movie to get into what it's really about, which is the wife. It's not the time traveler, it's the time traveler's wife. And the story of love and loss over time, which is what it's about. It's not really about time travel. It's not Quantum Leap. It's not Doctor Who. It's about love and loss. But you need to bolt on the time travel and then take it for granted.
Yes, exactly. And I also feel that we didn't treat the time travel as something where you had to explain it every week. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Henry's not a scientist. He's not anything in that world. He's basically an emotional guy that this becomes, in a sense, a disability for him. And it's basically dealing with it from a very emotional level. And to make it as honest as possible and make it and treat it like that, because I think that's kind of what we do and make that a reality, which is very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, so much of this hinges on finding the right, you know, Henry and Claire, obviously. So finding Rose Leslie, finding Theo James, obviously these roles are unusually demanding. How long did it take for you to really search for Henry and Claire? And I'm assuming the question that kept coming up with Henry is like, are you comfortable being naked a lot? And how much?
Well, fortunately, he was. It is. But for my own self, basically, for the character of Claire, I read page 30, and I closed the script, and I wrote Rose Leslie, because I worked with her on Game of Thrones. And everything she says, every action she takes and does, felt like Rose Leslie to me. And as far as Theo James is concerned, I found out something he had done about 10 years ago. I was cutting the Arrow pilot. Next door, they were cutting a show on CBS about a young DA. And I kept saying, who's that actor? Who's that actor? It was Theo James. So I kind of kept him in my back pocket and kept him finding out what he's up to. And I also never found that right element yet. So I said, this is a script that is going to demand a lot from Theo. And I think Theo's going to want to do that. So I met with him and we talked, and he basically became the best actor who could have ever played this role.
I like that David sometimes confuses me and Theo. A lot of people get mixed up, you know.
It's totally understandable.
One of those things. We often play tricks on people.
Exactly.
For me, we had a bunch of Claires and we saw them. And only Rose got the vitality and the fieriness. It's very easy to play Claire as a sort of passive person, sort of waiting person. But Rose just got, that's not what she's like. She might like the future she's being shown, but she doesn't like being told she's got no choice. That's a hard line to play. So, and you know, that downright prepared to be not that pleasant sometimes. Because Claire's not always lovely.
No.
At all. There's a great line in the book, which I moved into the dialogue, which when Claire first realizes that Henry already has a girlfriend and she sees all the stuff in the bathroom and she says to herself, well, bad luck, dear, I'm here now. I made her say it out loud in the TV show because I thought that's her. She's tough. So that's what Rose could do. For Theo, he was the one who just knew how to be the different Henrys.
Yes.
He could be, you know, the young, light. Most of them could either do one version or the other, but they couldn't do both. And these subtleties that Theo is capable of in that part. I mean, he's way more than just a pretty face, though damn his eyes, he is a pretty face. I think, especially in episode 6, when he's sitting on the sofa with Rose, and suddenly Rose is the older woman, and he suddenly seems so much more childlike.
Yeah.
So he could just pinpoint how to be the 36-year-old wise, clever, presidential one and the young, annoying asshole one in the library. He could do both, make it clear that they're the same person and give you a set of nuances that add up to somebody else entirely. Amazing. Tremendous performance.
His character was probably the most demanding role that I've ever cast. And Theo hit a grand slam home run.
No idea.
Yeah. Brilliant. He really is excellent as Henry. And they have to kind of play, like you were saying, they have to play some like late teens or 20s, and then they have to go through their older age. was there ever a consideration to cast people at different ages, like different actors for different ages, or was it always going to be, this is the guy, we're just going to do some aging makeup and de-aging?
I don't think you can do it. I think if you're going to remain emotionally connected with somebody, it has to be the same actor, and you have to take the hit of there's going to be makeup, you know? Obviously, it's a different teen Henry, but we've got a very good Theo double for that and a very good child Henry, tremendously. But I think you have to follow the same performance. So no, we absolutely had to be the same one. And we sort of discussed at the beginning, David and I, at what point it's okay to have a different younger actor.
Yes.
We reckon from the moment that Claire starts to take an interest in Henry when she's young, that has to be Rose. You know, yeah. We have to switch to Rose at that point. But we thought, well, teen Henry, we're just not just going to buy the big old adult that Theo is as a 15-year-old. That's just not possible.
Right.
So it was a sophisticated bit of judgment. And though I think David Rubin, our brilliant casting director, did an amazing job of finding the younger versions. Absolutely amazing.
Genius.
Yeah, he's a brilliant.
The teenager is pretty spectacular as well. It's pretty crazy how similar they are.
Yeah.
And I haven't read the book here, but I've seen the movie a couple of times. Obviously, I've seen the series or what you've done with it. Was there anything that you've changed or wanted to focus on more than the book or the film that you specifically wanted to be different? Or was the idea to make it as faithful to the book's experience as possible?
Well, it is not faithful to the detail. I'm not claiming that it is, because there's, you know, I love the book. I'm not amending or correcting the book, but a book is different from a TV show. It has to operate differently. I moved the time frame. I moved the young Henry and young Claire, the 20s version, to much closer to the present day than they would be if I'd stuck to the book, you know, because that's really quite a long time ago. And there's just other things that don't, I mean, cut off, it's not, as I say, a book has got a beginning, middle and end, and a TV show has a beginning, middle and end once a week. So you have to actually have that shape, that structure all the time. Some of my favorite moments in the book, like, you wouldn't know them, but like the haircut, like the staircase, wouldn't make a whole episode. So in a way you're spinning, you're taking that idea and saying, okay, if this idea were not 3 pages, but were actually a 60-page screenplay, what would it be like? So you're hopefully going to recreate the same emotions or some of the same emotions as the book, but by different means. Yes. Television is not the same. It's not that different from doing Sherlock. Any Sherlock Holmes story done at a proper pace would give you about 20 minutes of screen time, and we needed 90. So, you know, you got to do that.
I can't help but notice that, you know, like you were saying, this is a 6-episode series. It's not the entire story necessarily. Nope. So were you rolling the dice in hopes of, you know, we can just keep telling the story? Or did you have some assurances going in that you're going to get at least a season 2 or something like that?
Rolling the dice. It's all up to how well you write your article, whether we survive. So
it's
we always got to roll the dice. What's the point in life if you don't do that?
Would you, I know Audrey's been working on a sequel for almost like a decade. Have you talked with her about that? Would you go into that story as well?
I haven't read the sequel. Hardly anyone's read this. She's finished it. It's been delivered. She's waiting for her editor. So I stay in touch with Audrey, obviously. So I haven't read it, so I don't know. At the moment, what we're doing is The Time Traveler's Wife. We're just sticking to that.
I mean, I know that, David, you mentioned before you're the director of many memorable episodes of Game of Thrones. I know there are a bunch of series in the works. Is there any chance that we get another trip into Westeros for you? Or is that something that's not really, you want to leave it where you had it?
Well, you know what? I have to tell you, when I read these screenplays, I'm the kind of guy that will come and direct the pilot and leave, or I direct episodes I have time to do, which is great. But when I read this, I wanted to do everyone.
Yeah.
And I hope to be involved in this for a little longer. And nothing's in my sights, or nothing do I care about or want to do more than this again. Because this story was about the best I've ever had.
Yeah, it's a great story. And so you directed all 6 of them.
Yes.
That had to be a huge undertaking as far
You know, it was a situation where it was the most difficult job I ever had. But also, yeah. too, it was the easiest job because I've been wanting to tell this story and stories like this for all my life. And I think that I'd read the scene, talk to Stephen about it, and I'd know how to do it. It just came to me. So I think it was just something that was fate.
Absolutely. And Stephen, as a huge Sherlock fan, I'm sure you're sick of the question, but I would kick myself if I didn't at least confirm that there will be no more Sherlock stories from you and
dynamic Benedict duo. And Benedict and Martin, I'll do it again. I mean, it's Mark and I would do it again, and Sue. It's down to whether our two movie stars want to do it again. And I can understand why they might not want to. You know, come on, it's probably peaked in some ways. I mean, you're not going to get a much bigger hit than that ever, are you? But, you know, if they were up for it and we could all recover from the loss of Una Stubbs as Mrs. Hudson, which is pretty tough for us, then, you know, I have certainly not closed the door on it ever. I love doing Sherlock Holmes. I'd love it if we did it again. But down to Benedict and Martin.
Awesome.
There you go. That's it.
I want to thank you both for your time. They're giving me the wrap. So for our listeners, I will just say The Time Traveler's Wife premieres on HBO Max on May 15th. Stephen, David, again, it's great. Congratulations on another winner.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.